Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. And don't forget michaelsavage.com. Let me first thank the good doctor for once again lending me his microphone today. I'm Jed Babin. I'm a columnist for realclearpolitics.com and American Spectator, and you probably have heard me around before. But let's get right to it. Ladies and gentlemen, there's so much to talk about. The economy, Obama's coming speech after the Labor Day weekend. He's going to give us his grand plan, the big Darth Vader bus he's riding around in. But right now, I want to focus on a very, very interesting point that nobody else is talking about right now. What came out of Obama's interview all day yesterday? It seemed like it was all day. It was only about a half an hour. Wolf Blitzer, the Situation Room with Barry on his bus tour. The real interesting thing here, and we're going to be talking about what Obama said and how the softball questions were there, but the real interesting thing about this, if you sit back and think about this, is that this was not an interview, ladies and gentlemen. This whole thing was effectively a CNN campaign commercial, a donation to the Obama campaign. Think about what was going on with this. If you were going to do this kind of an interview, what you would want to do, I would think, if you were any sort of a reporter, you'd ask the president about what he's doing, about the different crises in the world, about the problems he's facing here and abroad, and maybe some of the things about the campaign. But none of that was there except for the campaign stuff. All you saw, all you heard in that half hour of drudgery yesterday with Obama and Wolfie going back and forth and practically kissing, the point here is, this was not bias in the media, ladies and gentlemen. These guys, people like Wolf Blitzer, people like the management at CNN, people like the management at the New York Times and NBC, they're not in the news business anymore. They're in the political activism business. And what they did, what CNN did yesterday, I think if you looked back at some of the campaign commercials, the time that candidates have bought in presidential elections, this would probably have cost Obama a couple of million bucks. It would cost him I don't know how much to buy a half an hour on CNN, on a national show. It would probably be $1 million or more. Think about the production costs that they can forego. They had CNN pick it all up. You had the fancy sets. You had the microphones and the producers and all of the stuff that goes into producing a TV show like that, and a very professional interviewer in the name of Wolf Blitzer. That's the point here. That's the point. They set it all up to give Obama a campaign commercial, and they did. Look at what they said. Look at what the two of them talked about. And we're going to be playing a lot of this video, audio in the next couple of minutes, but just think about it. If you saw that thing, and I couldn't watch it just live. I mean, the stuff, it just really grates on my nerves to listen to Obama anymore and Wolfie sucking up to him. But the basic point, really, to me, was I just wanted to see it without all the commercials, all the different dress-up. I looked at it today on the videos on CNN. And what did I see? I saw that Obama was asked questions that gave him the opportunity to take ideological shots at the Republicans in Congress. Oh, they're too rigid. We need to have compromise in this world, and we need to have calm in our political process, and people want production from the politicians, not strife. All of that, of course, was baloney, but the point, again, is this is Obama looking like the college professor, like the impartial arbiter of American politics. It's a setup. It's to make him look good. And then he took shots at Rick Perry. And we're going to talk about that, because what Rick Perry was saying and the things that Obama was taking shots at, God bless. I mean, Rick Perry is right on the money. And I mean that on both what he said about Bernanke and what he said about the military really would like to have somebody in the White House that might have had some military experience, all of those things. He was taking shots at Romney and all the trial balloons. Now, we've got this big plan that Obama is supposedly coming up with, and he's going to be giving us after Labor Day weekend. Well, you know, of course, they're waiting till after Labor Day weekend because they don't have a clue as to what they want to say, and they're promising us, oh, it's not going to be the same old rehashed stuff. Well, I'll believe that when it happens, because Obama is not capable of varying from his ideological agenda, and all he is going to want to do is, A, raise taxes, B, spend more of your money on another stimulus package, and play at stimulating the economy. That's what this guy is going to be doing. That's what's going to happen in September. But they're saying, oh, well, you know, this all was coming out. They did a trial balloon. They did a trial balloon in the Wolfie interview. They were saying, well, Obama's people had been floating the trial balloon earlier. Well, maybe what we need is a new federal department, a department of jobs. Yeah, we need another federal department, like Custer needed some more Indians, the little bighorn. But the basic point here is that was a trial balloon. And Obama was asked the question by the ever-accommodating Wolf Blitzer, and of course, well, you know, that didn't sound so good. We polled it in the meantime. He didn't say they polled it in the meantime. He said, no, Wolf, we're not going to do that. And, you know, there was a couple of unintended things in there, too. You know, Obama, when he's in front of a teleprompter, is very good. He's always on message. He's very calm. But, you know, you get him into a really good interview, which this was not, and he might actually stumble into something. And in this case, though, there was something there. He had another Joe the Plumber moment. We're going to play that audio for you in the next segment. But we had another Joe the Plumber moment there. He's talking about distribution of wealth. You know why he came out with that in the Wolfie interview? Because he was so relaxed. He was so relaxed. He was having a good time with his bud. They were getting a half hour of free advertising for his campaign. They were talking about all the things that he wanted to do and all the things that he'd come up against. Oh, how tough things were when he came into office. And that's what all they did. He got very relaxed, and he came up with, yeah, just a very interesting little, shall we say, unintended release there. And, you know, how friendly were they? How friendly were they? They got to the point. They got to the point where Wolf was joshing with Barry about, well, yeah, you know, when you get reelected, what are you going to do for your girls? Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. You're not going to believe it. Clip 9, guys. Please hit it.
The last time you were elected, you got Sasha and Malia a cute little puppy.
Yeah.
Bo.
Yeah.
What are you going to get them the next time if you're reelected?
When I'm reelected, what I'll be getting them is a continuation of Secret Service so that when boys want to start dating them, they are going to be surrounded by men with guns. That's their gift.
Uh-huh, yeah, and that was the point. The point was Blitzer's question. You know, when you get reelected, oh, well, if assuming you do. Yeah, of course, this whole thing, ladies and gentlemen, this is what the media are going to be doing. All through this campaign, all through the next year and a half until November of 2012, these guys are going to be doing some very selective reporting. Now, I've been an editor. I know how this is done. When you're in the bag for someone like the liberals at CNN and CBS, ABC, NBC, the New York Times, Washington Post, all those guys are in the bag for Obama. Again, they're not in the news business. What are they going to be doing? They're going to be just selectively reporting the things that either make the Republicans look bad or make Obama look good. They're not going to be asking Obama serious questions. They're not going to be prying into what his policies are. They're not going to be prying into the effect of his policies on our economy, on America's standing in the world, on the wars we're fighting. This is what they do, the selective reporting to exclude the bad stuff for Obama and include only the bad stuff for whoever is his opponent. And you look at what's going to go on. I can tell you one example of this right now. And if you look at michaelsavage.com, you're going to see a great story about the Darth Vader bus. Now, this is this very interesting bus. It was, I guess, customized in Canada to the tune of $1.1 million a piece. And the Secret Service got two of them. One is for Barry, and the other is for the Republican nominee, whoever that's going to be. But what you're going to see from the media, this is very interesting. If you look at michaelsavage.com, take a look at that story. Take a look at the pictures of that bus. Can you imagine seeing that in your rearview mirror? It's huge. It's much larger than a normal bus. It's totally black. It's reflective. It's probably armor-plated. But the point is, what you see there in that bus if you go to michaelsavage.com and look at that Daily Mail story, you're going to see something that's very foreboding. It's very dark. It's totally black and shiny. It looks like Satan's bus. You know, it's the kind of thing you never want to see in your rearview mirror. But what you're going to see is you're never going to see Barry with that bus. He may be riding it all over America. It's going to be schlepped around for him, probably by an Air Force C-5, and they'll offload it. He'll get on it. He'll drive around it. But you'll never see him with that. Why? Because it's a dark, menacing presence. But what you're going to see, I mean, you know, if you see somebody, well, God bless little Michelle Bachmann. And I don't mean little in terms of ideas. I don't mean little in terms of brain power. You know, the lady is, let's face it, a little bit short. Bachmann is the Republican nominee. You're going to see almost nothing of her on the campaign trail except getting on and off the Satan bus. The Satan bus. The Darth Vader bus. You know, why? The whole issue of where these things were made, Canada, whatever, don't worry about that. Worry about what's going to be done with the media, in the media. The media are going to selectively report just like they did with this business of the bus. We'll see that from now on. Just like all of the other things they're doing now on the economic coverage of Obama. All of these things, selective reporting. Don't forget to pump up Obama. Not in the news business. These guys are not in the news business. What they are is their flacks for Obama. All right, Jed Babin for Michael Savage. We're going to take a quick break. Come back to your calls. We're at 800-449-8255. We'll be right back. Savage.
When you took office, you said, if I don't have this done in 3 years, then there's going to be a one-term proposition. Meaning you're going to be a one-term president. You remember that?
Well, here's what I remember. When I came into office, I knew I was going to have a big mess to clean up. Frankly, the mess has been bigger than I think a lot of people anticipated at the time. Ultimately, the buck stops with me. I'm going to be accountable.
Well, he doesn't want to be accountable. Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation. We're at 800-449-8255. That was yesterday. Wolf Blitzer, Barry Obama. In what really was not an interview, ladies and gentlemen, it was a campaign commercial carefully structured to help Obama through this campaign. When you see all of these questions, when you listen to them, put them in context, taking shots at various people, listen to some of these things that Obama was talking about with Wolf Blitzer. One of these things really got my attention. Let's just listen. Guys, I can't resist. Clip six, please.
Rick Perry, the governor of Texas, Republican presidential candidate now, says the men and women of the United States military want someone who's worn the uniform. He says he served in the Air Force. Do you see a comment like that, that he makes referring to you as disrespectful to the commander-in-chief?
Wow. You know, he says he served in the Air Force. Well, okay, let's face it. Governor Perry says he served in the Air Force. He served, for heaven's sake. The man was a C-130 pilot. He was an officer in the United States Air Force. Does Wolf Blitzer really think that it's outrageous that someone who is a veteran, who served with distinction, is now saying, you know, veterans might be a little more comfortable with someone in the White House who actually served? Yeah, okay, now not every great president has served, but Barry Obama has such contempt for the military and for its culture. We've repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell. There are now women serving aboard submarines. There's so much going on. And now this guy Blitzer, who is obviously not in the news business, he's in the political activism business, he's setting it up for Obama. Listen to what Obama says. Well, just a clip seven, please.
Mr. Perry just got in the presidential race, and I think that everybody who runs for president, it probably takes them a little bit of time before they start realizing that this isn't like running for governor or running for senator or running for Congress. And you've got to be a little more careful about what you say. I'll cut him some slack. He's only been at it for a few days now.
Oh, yeah. Rick Perry is an amateur, and I'm going to cut him some slack. I'm so generous about this. Mr. Obama, Mr. President, listen up, fella. When you were nominated, before you even got elected, look, I'm an Air Force veteran. Pretty much, I would say 80% of my friends all through my life have either been in the military or military veterans, served at one point or another. I can't tell you how many people called me or emailed me or called me when I was on the air saying, how can you let this guy get elected? He's never done anything. He's not qualified. And you know what? We'd be a lot better off now that we're in a couple of wars. Actually, it's one war, but the folks back home don't always see it that way. But the fact of the matter is, when you're in a fight, and we are in a very big fight against radical Islam, against Iran, against all of the nations that are sponsoring terrorism, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to have someone in the White House who actually had served and knew what the military was all about? So Wolf Blitzer is saying, oh, is that disrespectful to the commander-in-chief? And Obama says, well, I'm going to cut him some slack. Look, cutting him some slack has absolutely nothing to do with what Rick Perry said. What Rick Perry said was precisely right. And I think if you start looking around at the military community, the active duty and the retired people, there's probably, oh, I don't know, 99% of us who would say, yeah, he was right. And we're in a fight, and we need somebody who knows which end of the rifle the bullet comes out of to be president of the United States. This is something, ladies and gentlemen, again, and I'm going to harp on this till my dying breath or, you know, the November election next year, whichever comes first. The basic point here is people like Wolf Blitzer and the people who hire him, the people like Phil Griffin at NBC, get say that Rick Perry is there for Pinch Sulzberger, the owner and publisher of the New York Times, putting Maureen Dowd and the rest of these clowns up there. These are the people who are making political news into a sham. These are the people who are working very hard to reelect Barry Obama. All right, one of those break things coming up. This is Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 800-449-8255. Be right back to your calls.
Savage.
Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 800-449-8255. Okay, we're talking about the Obama-Wolf Blitzer interview yesterday on CNN, which was absolutely painful to watch. But there are some things coming out of it that are probably not what Barry really intended. This was a half an hour of basically a campaign commercial that Obama didn't have to buy because CNN gave it to him. All right. One thing, though, one thing came out of this. This really is something I'm sure Obama, he was so relaxed. He was having such fun with Wolf Blitzer. This came out and he didn't really even realize. Well, all right. Before I even get to that clip, think about the clip I'm about to play for you and think about what you're going to hear in just a minute about Obama and the economy. Remember Joe the Plumber way back in October of 08, a little thing that got under Obama's skin? He answered casually, off the cuff. It wasn't a teleprompter-prompted answer. He actually answered something he was thinking. Listen to Joe the Plumber from October of 08. Joe, 12, please.
Your new tax plan is going to tax me more, isn't it?
It's not that I want to punish your success. I just want to make sure that everybody who is behind you, that they've got a chance at success, too. I think when you spread the wealth around, it's good for everybody.
Spread the wealth around. Remember the redistributionist debate? Remember the whole idea, oh, well, Obama's not going to try to take money away just to, you know, the Robin Hood syndrome. He's not going to rob people just to pay other people off. Well, yeah, he kind of has. And that's what tax hikes are all about. That's what spending your great-grandchildren's savings before they even are born and earn it are all about. But this redistribution theme, it keeps popping up. Congressman Jim Clyburn from South Carolina, thinking about the super committee. What did Clyburn say about redistribution? Clyburn 27, please.
If we do our work properly, I think we can do it in a very surgical manner, and we could really begin to close the wealth gap. For instance, let's close these loopholes that exist out there that cause so many corporations and very wealthy people not to pay the taxes at all. We need to take this tax burden off of middle-income Americans. We need to stop the burden of running the country that's been put on them.
Yeah, okay, redistribute the wealth. Take the burden off the good guys. Take the burden off the people who are going to vote for me and put it on everybody else. And listen to this. This is Obama at his base. This, you know, these events don't happen very often, ladies and gentlemen. When Joe the Plumber asked that casual conversation in Ohio back in 08, Obama gave him, unexpectedly, a truthful answer. And he was so relaxed. Barry was so relaxed with his buddy Wolfie yesterday. Listen to what he said, talking about how we're going to go about this. This is what we're going to talk about in the economics of the country, of the United States. This is what's coming at you after Labor Day. This is what Obama wants from the Super Committee. 08, please.
What does that say about the wealthiest country in the world, that 46 million Americans rely on food stamps in order to put food on the table?
Well, what it says is, first of all, we've had a terrible recession. The problem is that the distribution of income and wealth in this country has been a problem for some time.
The distribution of wealth in this nation has been a problem for some time. It's a problem for socialists who want to redistribute the income that other people are earning. If you are an earner, if you are a taxpayer, this man does not believe you should keep what you earn. Your earnings, the things that you have worked for, the things that you have saved. This is what you have in this man. Ladies and gentlemen, we knew this. We knew this in 2008. We've known this ever since. This man is not, he does not believe in the American system of capitalism. He does not believe in the American economy. That's why we have the multi-trillion dollar debt that he's added to it since this country was unfortunate enough to have him inaugurated as his president. All right, Jed Babin on the Savage Nation, 800-449-8255. Let's get to your questions on right now. How about Line 9, Rex, listening on WOR in New York City. Welcome. Welcome to the Savage Nation, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Jed. Great job today. My question is, what does Rick Perry have to do to beat Barack Obama in the next election?
Barack Obama. You know, that's really a pretty good one, Rex. I may steal that from you. I think there's a bunch of things he's got to do. Number one, he's got to take it right to Obama. You know, when he said things like he said this past weekend, and we're going to play those audio bits in a little bit, you know, when he says, yeah, you know, veterans of the military might be more comfortable with someone who's worn the uniform in the White House. When he said, you know, Ben Bernanke, it's equivalent to treason, flooding the market with new printed dollars. I think he's got to take it to Obama. He can't let Obama rest ever. And he's also got to get around these mainstream media people. You know, people like all of the folks on MSNBC, all of the people in the New York Times. What I would like to see Rick Perry do, if he got a really good, tough vice presidential candidate, someone who could be his kind of an attack dog. You know, Perry, the jury's still out on him. I like the guy. I want to learn a lot more. There's some things that kind of give me misgivings about him. But I think in order to win, he's got to be really tough. He's got to take it to Obama. He's got to compete well in the primaries. He's got to raise a ton of money. But when he gets the nomination, if he gets the nomination, what he's got to do is not just campaign against Obama. The American people are screaming for someone to stand up to the media. And when you have all of these media suits back there, the guys who run MSNBC, the guys who run the New York Times, the guys who run ABC, NBC, and CBS, if you take them on, not with threats of prosecution, not with anything other than really just poking fun at them, the liberal media, again, they're not in the news business, they're in the political activism business, but what they are, they're not running a business. And Rex, these guys, it's like a dysfunctional liberal family like you'd never see outside of Hollywood. Hire Mel Brooks. Hire a couple of really funny guys and make some TV commercials attacking these people. Rick Perry, if he does that, if Reince Priebus at the RNC does that, they will win in a landslide. Hey, great call. Thanks for calling in. Jed Babin for Dr. Michael Savage. Let's go to Jerry on drop. All right, let's go to James and WIND in beautiful Chicago. Hey, James, thanks for calling into the Savage Nation.
Quick point. If you want to see the hypocrisy of Obama, all you have to do is look at Back in 2009, he went to Elkhart, Indiana to prop up the RV industry. He's driving around in a Canadian-made bus. Go Google
well,
it.
Well, you know, yeah, oh, I believe you. James, this is just so typical. I'm laughing only because why should we expect anything other than this kind of hypocrisy? These guys are liberals. The only thing they have as a core principle is obtaining and maintaining power. They really don't believe in anything else. They don't care about American workers. If they did, and we're going to get to in a little bit a little quote from Paul Krugman, who actually was right for the first time in his life. If they really cared about the American worker and the American economy, they'd stimulate growth. Growth is what this economy needs most. Growth is what we do not have now because of Obama's policies. That's what this is all about. And you know, you're right, and Obama is a hypocrite for doing that, but what's the big surprise? Hey, great call. Thanks for it. Let's go to, go back. Are we back with Ralph? Who's next, boys? Ralph on WOR in New York? Oh, here we go. Mary Kay in Kansas City listening to us. Hey, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Jed, I think the Republican nominee ought to tell Barry thanks, but no thanks when it comes to giving him that big black bus for the campaign trail.
Yeah, you know, I think that's probably a good idea, Mary Kay. The problem is those are not Barry's buses. Those were ordered by and paid for, I guess, by the Secret Service. So they got all sorts of armor, plate, and whatnot, and I think a candidate's going to be pretty hard-pressed to do that. But you know what I would do? I would say, thank you very much, but we're going to take this down to the local car paint shop before we do it, and I'd have it painted up in some red, white, and blue colors and just have it be very bright and very positive. And I don't think the Secret Service could object too much to that. That big Darth Vader bus is really not something anybody should ride around in. I think that's a good idea. You know, either turn it down or take it back and just get the son of a gun painted.
Sounds like
hey, Mary Kay, there you go. Hey, thanks for the call. Jed Babin for Michael Savage, 800-449-8255. Let's go to Sally in Aberdeen, Washington, listening to us on KBKW. Hey, thanks for calling in. This is the Savage Nation.
Yes, I just want to say there is such a double standard when it comes to our news media reporting on the wars. And I am a Gold Star mother, and I lost my son in 2009.
Bless.
And, you know, 60% of our soldiers have died under Obama, and that number's growing since we had that horrible accident of the Chinook, which should not have happened. And I don't understand why there wasn't a fighter jet or something following that Chinook for that very reason. But how can these journalists call themselves journalists? They're just giving out propaganda. They don't even, we watched when George Bush was in power, I had to go to work every day and someone every week put up the death toll on the bulletin board of soldiers killed. And then you had Cindy Sheehan out there starting Code Pink and harassing Obama, I mean not Obama but Bush. Am I supposed to get a megaphone and go out and harass Obama? And then did he go to Congress to go into Libya? No. Are we still in Libya? Yes. We've got five wars. We've got Iraq. We've got Iran, we've got Libya, Mexico, and Yemen. And I thought, you know, I don't even know what else to say. That's my point.
Sally, you know, God bless you, and God bless the memory of your son. You've given more to this country than anybody should have to do. But God bless you for it, and we treasure the memory of your son. I think you're right. Clearly, these reporters, again, they're not in the news business, Sally. They really don't care about the truth. They're in the business of reelecting Obama. You know, we have the wars going on. We would be better off with someone who was a veteran in the White House. We would be better off with someone who accepted American values and desired the American economy to thrive rather than to redistribute the wealth. I think journalism, it's not quite dead, but journalism is a rare, rare thing anymore. Journalism means going out, reporting on stories, getting facts, checking those facts, and writing them up or broadcasting them. What we have now in 90% of the media, these people are not out there collecting facts. They're out there writing campaign commercials. And I think, you know, what we have to do, now, God bless you, don't go out there and take a megaphone and try to, you know, shout down anybody. That's not the American way. That's not what we do. But you know what you might want to do? You know, one day, if you're in New York or you're in Washington or something like that, maybe a bunch of folks ought to go out and just pick at the offices of somebody like old Pinch Sulzberger at the New York Times, who is very, very happy to publish any top-secret information that they can get their hands on simply to make things worse for our soldiers and worse for our troops and worse just to make it worse for Republicans. Go pick at the office of Phil Griffin, the clown who runs MSNBC and puts some of the idiots that he has there on the air. You know, I think you've probably given more to your country now than anybody should have ever had to. So I'm not going to ask you to do that. It's up to us to do things like that for you, Sally. God bless you. I hope you have a long and happy life with the remainder of your family. And please, please think, never stop thinking that people like us are thinking of you and thinking of your son every single day. I never had combat experience. I served in the Air Force. A lot of my friends were in combat. A lot of my friends are former SEALs. You know, these guys have been in the thick of it, and they all pretty much have the same story. They say, spend my life if you need to, but don't waste it. And I don't think you can trust Barry Obama to not waste young American lives. Sally, thank you so much for your call. God bless you. I hope you have a very good rest of the year, and I hope you'll call in again very soon. All right, we've got to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. Jed Babin for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation. Be right back to your calls.
Savage.
Well, I think there's a real problem with this president not having any background with the military, not understanding the culture of the military.
You know, I think Governor Rick Perry got it just right. There is a problem with this. I mean, how many times have you seen Obama when the flags are being passed along and the colors are being presented and he's kind of got his hands covering his crotch, or the half salute that he does when the Pledge of Allegiance is said? Yeah, he doesn't get the military culture. He doesn't get much of American culture. And I think Rick Perry had it precisely right, which is why some people who are criticizing him, we're going to be talking about that in just a little bit, some people who are criticizing Rick Perry are really way off base. Jed Babin for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 800-449-8255. Go right back to your calls. Line 3, Ralph listening in on New York in WOR AM. Hey, I used to listen to WOR when I was living up there. Thanks for calling in, Ralph. This is the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Jed. Jed, I would hope the Republican candidate, whomever it may be, it looks like Perry does have a good chance, that he could speak frankly about moral issues without bringing God into it. Now, don't take me the wrong way, because I happen not to be a believer, and I don't. Anyone who believes in God, that's wonderful. But I will tell you this. It is alienating to a certain extent. It's important. I really believe this, Jed, that our side doesn't define ourselves with the religious right, and that somehow it sends the strange message that somehow God is on our side. I mean, I find it silly and insincere. It's like what he...
Ralph, wait a minute. You know, I certainly you have every right to not be a believer, and that's fine. But when you say, you know, our side, it's off-putting, I don't know how many people are going to be put off by something like that. I mean, pretty much every president in my memory, and my memory goes back to at least LBJ and probably back to Eisenhower even, you know, I don't remember any president who didn't at one point or another profess his religion. Now, I agree that religion is not the only guiding principle. I agree that, you know, there are some things where we shouldn't be talking about religion in the context of certain issues. But the basic point here is, you know, I don't think Perry needs to back off on this. I think speaking about moral issues, if you're going to speak about moral issues, Ralph, what is the moral principle? Where do you draw your principles from? If you don't believe in God, if all your gods are secular gods, if you do not have a code of conduct defined by one of the religions, Christianity, Buddhism, Judaism, I mean, there's so many out there. You know, there are religions out there which form the basis of moral belief. If you don't believe in God, Ralph, and I, this is not the first person to say this, I'm not. If you don't believe in God, you'll believe in anything. And that's the problem I have. You know, I hear you, and I respect what you're saying, but I don't agree. And I don't think the Republicans want to be a secular party in the sense that you're suggesting. I don't believe they should be entirely guided by religion. But if you're going to profess moral principles, Ralph, you can't not begin with religious principles, because if you don't have that foundation somewhere, whichever religion you're going to pick, those moral principles necessarily derive from religious principles, just like our unalienable rights under the Declaration of Independence come from our Creator, not from our King. Hey, good call, Ralph. Appreciate it coming in. We're coming up into one of those break things, ladies and gentlemen. Jed Babin for Michael Savage. We're going to come back after the top of the hour. One of the things we need to be talking about, we need to be talking a lot more about Rick Perry and what he said and some of the people who are picking on him. I think some of these people are pretty well off base. I think you're going to agree. This is Jed Babin from American Spectator and RealClearPolitics.com, sitting in for the good doctor, Michael Savage. We're going to take a break and come back to you after the news. We're at 800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome, everybody. This is Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 800-449-8255. Don't forget to go to michaelsavage.com and read all the top stories. We're talking right now, and we really need to hit this hard. Barry Obama sat with Wolfie Blitzer, his buddy, on CNN yesterday for a very interesting interview. But it wasn't an interview. It was a campaign commercial. And what Obama was doing with Wolf Blitzer's help was getting a couple of $1 million worth of free advertising, picking on Rick Perry, picking on Mitt Romney, picking on the Congress of the House of Representatives and all the Democratic Party Republicans there. This was a campaign commercial. The media is in full cry right now. They're not in the news business. They're in the business of reelecting Barack Obama. All right, we're going to be talking about that and a whole bunch of other things, including some of the people, some of the old Bush camp, who are now popping out of the woodwork and attacking Rick Perry. Why? And why should we listen to these people? Let's get right to your calls, 800-449-8255. Let's go to line 9, Dex in WSAU in Wisconsin, listening to you to us. On WSAU. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks for taking my call. I guess my wife and I are sitting here listening, and one of the things, if you would just watch Obama come off Marine One, and I noticed this from the day he got into that, we allowed him to live in the White House. But when he walks off and the young Marine is standing below the plank, he walks off and gives this sloppy salute and walks away. And if you look at George Bush, when George Bush walked off Marine One, he looked that young Marine right in the eye and gave him a snap salute like a real military man with honor.
Yeah. Now, Dex, you make a good point. And you know, Obama's never been in the military. I mean, heck, Reagan never was either. But Reagan cared. Reagan cared about the soldier. Reagan cared about their lives. And Reagan didn't want to waste their lives. Although, you know, he had some faults, too, in military operations. But the basic bottom line was Ronald Reagan cared about our military. George W. Bush cared about the military. His father, George H.W. Bush, cared about the military. All of them, well, both Bushes, and, you know, going back to President Eisenhower, heck, going back to Ulysses S. Grant, as far as I can tell, with the exception of Ronald Reagan, you know, pretty much all of our best presidents served in the military at one point. The real issue here, Dex, and I think you're touching on it at least indirectly, there is a bond of trust between the military and the White House that has to exist, or the military can't function well. It can't respect a president that it doesn't trust. And the people out there in uniform, they can't and they don't respect and trust Barack Obama. Hey, great call. Thanks for it. Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage. Let's go to line three. Donald in New York. Welcome to the Savage Nation, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, good evening. I think religion will play a major role in this election because of the lack of religion that this current occupant of the White House is not showing. I personally think that religion will play a major role. People will vote for perhaps a candidate who has some religion and shows it rather than a person who takes it nonchalantly.
Well, you may be right, Donald, and you know, I don't know that that's going to play through the entire electorate. I mean, obviously, religious belief is very, very important to most Americans. I mean, this is a religious country. It's a center-right country. But I don't know that people really vote for that. I mean, the economy is going to be the biggest issue. We know that. What's going to happen with the super committee and what Obama is going to promise and what he's not going to deliver on, all of those things are going to be very important. I don't know that religion is going to be an issue. And, you know, it will be for some people. But I think the issues that derive from religion, the social issues, the moral issues, like I was talking to that gentleman in another segment, you know, he was a professed atheist, a non-believer. The real issue here is you want someone who you can trust, and you want someone who you can trust to apply his moral and legal and factual beliefs to the decisions the president has to make. I don't know that people can trust Obama on any level. So I just don't have a good feel. I don't think you're right. I don't think religion is going to play a big role in this election. It might. We'll see. As long as we get this guy out of office in November 2012, that's really what we've got to work on. Hey, good call. Thanks for it. Jed Babin for Michael Savage. Let's go to line two. Charles, listening to us on WTVS in West Virginia. Thanks for calling in, sir. This is the Savage Nation.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. I just wondered what you
said
about the president sitting there during that interview telling people, you know, what they can and cannot say and that they need to watch themselves. I don't watch what they say or something to that effect. But who does he think he is? This is America. We have the freedom to say what we want. And I believe the man was 100% correct when he said it would be treasonous to print any more worthless money.
Yeah. I think, Charles, I think you're pretty much right. I mean, the real issue here is Obama's arrogance. I don't think he has any way to, you know, control what a Republican candidate is going to say. I sure hope he doesn't. And I don't think Rick Perry or Michelle Bachmann or any of the really good people that are up there are going to pay any attention when Barack Obama says, well, you really shouldn't speak that way. The real issue now is whether people will see through this. And I, again, urge everyone listening and everyone you talk to think about what's going on. What are these people in the media trying to do? It was a campaign commercial for Obama. It was not anything but that. And we end up now with the treatise of this, the flotsam and jetsam coming out of it. And, you know, people want to put the Republicans on defense. You know, you don't have to be a Democrat to be attacking the Republicans. That comment that Rick Perry made, let's play that. Guys, you have Perry talking about Ben Bernanke. Hit that one, please.
If this guy prints more money between now and the election, I don't know what y'all would do to him in Iowa, but we would treat him pretty ugly down in Texas. I mean, printing more money to play politics at this particular time in American history is almost treacherous or treasonous. in my opinion.
And what's wrong with that? I mean, what Rick Perry is basically saying, and my good friend Larry Kudlow wrote about this today in RealClearPolitics.com, what Rick Perry is basically saying is that if you're printing money now in the time of a borderline recession, just coming out of a recession, when inflation is just right around the corner, when all of these things are going on, it is dangerous. It is not what we need in our economy. It is exactly the kind of dangerous and damaging action that you'd expect from a liberal. So I don't understand why Obama is going after, well, obviously Obama's going to go after it because he's scared to death of Rick Perry. I don't understand why other people are going on and on about Rick Perry being wrong, saying the wrong thing. You know, one of the people who really, really should not be listened to anymore in American politics is President Bush's former advisor, Karl Rove. Now, you see him all the time. He's popping up on Fox News. He writes in the Wall Street Journal. All of the things that he says are aimed at what? Aimed at restoring Karl Rove to power. Aimed at maybe, I don't know, electing Jeb Bush president at some point. But the real issue here, why is he now lecturing Rick Perry? Listen to Karl Rove yesterday, actually, it was yesterday, talking about Perry on Bernanke. Clip 14, please.
Look, it's his first time on the national stage, and it was a very unfortunate comment. You don't accuse the chairman of the Federal Reserve of being a traitor to his country, of being guilty of treason. That's not a presidential statement.
Yeah, okay, it's his first time on the national stage. Didn't we just hear another quote from somebody else saying, well, he's only been in the campaign for a couple of days, and I'm going to cut him some slack? Why is Karl Rove sounding like Barack Obama? Why are we listening to a guy? Let's just face it, ladies and gentlemen, when Karl Rove left the White House with George Bush, the two of them left the Republican Party as a smoking crater in the ground. Now, why is this man purporting to advise us on how Republican politics ought to play out? Listen to Rove again. You know, he's talking about how wrong Rick Perry is. 15, please.
If Rick Perry were to be elected president, he would be saddled with Ben Bernanke, who has a term. He's the independent chairman of the Federal Reserve Board. He's appointed by a president, confirmed by Congress, and serves for a term. So the president couldn't even ask him to resign. So this was. I hope that this is not the first of sort of over the top statements.
Oh, yes. We hope it's not the first of over-the-top statements. And Governor Perry, you've got to be really careful. The open feud between the Bushies and Rick Perry has been an open secret in Texas for years. They don't like Rick Perry. They think he's an obstacle to them. I just don't believe that Karl Rove is qualified. He's not qualified to comment about Rick Perry because he has a conflict of interest. Again, Rove says it's not smart politics. Listen to this. Clip 16.
It's not smart politics either. The Governor Perry is going to have to fight the impression that he's a cowboy from Texas. This simply added to it by accusing somebody of being guilty of being a traitor to his country. Look, when Al Gore did that to George Bush in 2004, I thought it diminished Gore and didn't, hurt Bush.
Well, Al Gore is not Rick Perry. And Al Gore is not going to be tied to Rick Perry no matter how much Karl Rove wants him to be. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the danger. This is the danger we have because the conservatives and the Republican Party are not yet united behind someone. It can't happen soon enough because until you have the party united under a strong leader, you're going to have all these carpers, these ankle biters out there like Karl Rove purporting to tell us what we should do and purporting to tell people like Rick Perry, well, you really don't sound presidential. Why is he sounding? Why is Karl Rove sounding like Barack Obama? Beats the heck out of me. All right, we've got to take a quick break and come right back to your calls. This is Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage. We're at 800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 800-449-8255. And don't forget to check out the top stories on michaelsavage.com. All right, we're going right back to your calls. Line 8, Ron listening in on WPIQ in Michigan. Thanks for calling in, sir. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
I would disagree with what you had to say about Karl Rove. I don't believe that the man has an agenda. I honestly think
really?
He's just a Fox News contributor, and he just goes and gives his 2 cents every once in a while.
Well, if he was doing that, why is he just gathering so much of the political money out there to take control over it? Don't forget his group, what is it called, American Crossroads or something like that? They are sucking up an awful lot of the big money in the Republican Party. Why? Because they want to control it, and they're going to give it to the candidates of their choice. You know, this guy, you know, again, he is not an evil man, but he is not someone that we should really take seriously and listen to in guiding conservative politics. You know, frankly, if you look at what went on with George W. Bush, Bush and Rove were not conservatives. What this compassionate conservatism they had, it was big spending, big government. And I think those are the people that Rove is comfortable with. Those are the people he is comfortable with, and that's why, one of the reasons he's not comfortable with Governor Rick Perry. Hey, good call. Thanks for it, Ron. Let's go to Greg on WNOX in Tennessee. Hey, thanks for calling in. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, thanks. Communist morals and values are based in esotericism, okay? They have no substantive beliefs. They will steal, they'll lie, they'll cheat. I mean, any Democrat or any communist that, well, they already know. They don't need to look it up because they know. I have no evidence to support that they'll not act like they are and lie, cheat, and steal the election coming up in 2012, that is the presidential, and we'll never know better. I mean, look at
Well, look, there's a lot of things. Greg, no, I think you raise a valid point. Look, there are a lot of things about the 2008 election we still don't know. And Barack Obama raised, I think it was $600 million, a lot of that on the Internet. How much of that Internet donation came from people who should not be donating, who are not legally allowed to donate to American elections? I don't know. I don't think we'll ever know. The thing about what you're pointing at, you know, this thing about election fraud, I don't think it's going to be very easy for anybody to steal an election, but it's possible. And if you look at what we've got right now in the Department of Justice, you've got Eric Holder as the most political attorney general this country has ever seen. Never before has justice been as politicized as it has been under Eric Holder. Don't forget, the last time we went through an election, a presidential election, we had the new Black Panther Party intimidating voters at a Philadelphia voting place. Eric Holder not only would not prosecute them, he even had his people dismiss a default judgment in a civil case against them. That's what we're up against. That's why, you know, God bless our state governments and people around the country. We've got some very good attorneys general in various states. They are the ones who are going to have to take a look at this. You know, I think we can get this country back, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think we're going to lose the 2012 election. What we need, what we conservatives need, what we need is a good conservative candidate who's tough enough and has enough star power to take on Barry Obama. Hey, Greg, thanks for calling. Great call. Let's go to line one, Diane in New York. Thanks for calling in. Welcome to the Savage Nation, ma'am.
Thank you. I wanted to include another president. Please mention that President Clinton had no regard for the military. I happen to have read a book written by the military representative to the White House when Clinton was there. And as you know, each year one person is selected from each one of the armed forces. This fellow was so honored to be selected to be the military representative at the White House. He said he was blatantly ignored by Clinton. And
Diane, I'm sorry I've got to cut you off. We're going into a hard break, but you're exactly right. Clinton was terrible with the military. Jed Babin for Michael Savage.
Savage.
Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 800-449-8255. And again, thank you, Dr. Michael Savage, for lending me your microphone today. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go right back to your calls. Well, before we do that, let's just listen one more time to Rick Perry's comment about that's just gathering so much steam and gathering so much criticism from the likes of Karl Rove and Barack Obama, who I think it's kind of odd to seeing marching side by side. Listen to Rick Perry talking about Obama and the military. Cut 13, please.
Well, I think there's a real problem with this president not having any background with the military, not understanding the culture of the military.
Yeah, and what's wrong with that? Why is Rick Perry wrong? Of course, he's not wrong. Obama not only doesn't understand the culture of the military, he doesn't really care about it. All right, let's go right back to your calls. How about line two? Scott, listening on KSTE in beautiful Sacramento. Scott, thanks for calling in. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi. To me, it just seems, based on how admirably so many other presidents that haven't had any military experience have served as commander-in-chief, and especially based on everything that Obama has done for and with the military in the fight against in the war on terror over the past 3 years.
Whoa. What has he done for the military?
Well, he started listening to
What has Obama done?
He started listening to all the terrorist specialists and said, focus your every effort on Pakistan and Afghanistan and get the heck out of Iraq. And in doing so, I mean, literally saved thousands of military lives that were being wasted in Iraq and ended up getting bin Laden.
So, number one, you think we're not taking any more casualties in Iraq or Afghanistan, and you think that that bin Laden was gotten and killed solely because Obama was so intent on doing so. Is that a fair statement of what you're saying?
There is a far less...
No. Is that what you're saying? Are you crediting Obama for killing bin Laden? Is that his accomplishment? Nobody else should get credit for that. That's what he did, because he concentrated on that. Is that what you're saying, Scott? Scott, you still there? Scott's gone. Well, you know, the fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States does not understand the military. He doesn't give a damn about the soldiers. This is the guy who just pushed so hard for the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The whole scam about that, you probably didn't read the Defense Department Inspector General report on the leak of that so-called study where they surveyed the military and found that, oh, well, according to leakers anyway, 72% of the people said, well, you know, there really wouldn't be any problem in their book, that it would be okay to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. If you read the report, if you read the survey, and if you read the Inspector General's findings, you could see that if you just looked at it from the other side, you could say with equal truthfulness that 80% of the people said it would be a bad thing or have no effect at all. You know, if you want to figure out what happened with that, you really need to look at this IG report, and you really can't believe, if anyone really believes that Obama cared about the military culture, what you'd have to look at is the submarine service. Now, the submarine service, since it was begun before World War I, has never allowed women on it. Why? Because Navy wives, for good reason, didn't want their husbands and their sons and their others going out on submersible love boats. You put women on submarines, let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, close quarters, there's going to be a lot of he-ing and she-ing. And despite the fact that the Navy wives, the submariners' wives, were absolutely aghast by that, Barack Obama didn't care. Bob Gates went ahead, and now we have women serving on submarines. This is the president who cares about the military and the military culture? Ha! All right, let's go back to your calls, 800-449-8255. Mary on line six, listening in Chicago on WIND. Ma'am, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I'm calling in regards to the gentleman that talked about that he didn't believe in God and so forth. Well, I'm taking the opposite side. I do believe in God. I went to religious schools for 12 years, so do my children and grandchildren. However, we were taught not to wear religion on our sleeve and lead or influence, rather, more by example than words. And from a few people I've talked to from Texas, they may like him, but they don't really appreciate the all of a sudden the religious attitude that he has taken recently. Otherwise,
Let me interrupt, Mary, and I just want to ask you, what do you think is his religious attitude? Now, he had a rally. He spoke at a religious rally. Now, what else are you looking at? What else is his religious attitude to you? Tell me. I'm interested in what you think.
Attitude may have been the wrong word. I guess that, like I say, most people probably don't even know what religion I belong to, but if they were to ask me questions about it, I would explain it. That's the way I was raised, but what I'm talking about is some of the people that I've met from Texas, they not only talked about that one religious gathering that he had, but evidently in his speakings down there, he has brought it up quite a bit. Now, I'm
well, Mary, you know, that may be true, but, you know, the problem I have with this, Mary, and, you know, I take it that you believe what you're saying and you're trying to make a good point. The problem with this is second, third, and fourth-hand rumors of stuff. You know, in a political campaign, especially in a presidential campaign, I'm interested in facts, okay? If somebody has a beef about Rick Perry, they've heard him say something which is offensive or outrageous on a religious basis or any other basis, let's hear it. But the problem I have with you, and ma'am, I appreciate the call, but the problem I have is let's not get into, well, I heard somebody from Texas who might have said that they once heard Rick Perry. Come on, it's baloney. I really can't take that seriously. We have to be serious. If Rick Perry has big flaws, I want to know about them. But on the other hand, I don't want to create them out of whole cloth. I don't want Karl Rove running around sounding like Barry Obama telling Rick Perry that he doesn't sound presidential. That's not what's going to win in 2012. What's going to win in 2012 is a tough guy, maybe it's Perry, or a tough gal, maybe it's Bachman, or somebody like that, who can take on these issues and right get back to where we need to be. Because if we don't beat Barry Obama next year, I'm not sure this country's going to survive much longer. Mary, thanks for the call. Let's go to line 7. Joel, listening in from Miami, Florida. Thanks for calling in, sir. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm going to quote you with facts. Facts regarding...
Okay.
Number one, he got to Osama bin Laden. No one else could do it.
He... Whoa. He did it. How did he do it?
He took a chance. He took a chance.
He did what? He did what? No. Let's get the facts here. You're saying he did it. The CIA found this guy, and they surveilled him for months. Okay? The SEALs planned the operation. They presented it to the Secretary of Defense. First, they presented it to the commander of SOCOM. Then they presented it to the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Then they presented it to the Secretary of Defense. Then they presented it to the President, and he approved it. Okay, yeah, it was done on his watch, but don't tell me Barry Obama got bin Laden. Come on.
Obama was president when Obama was, when he got killed.
That's true. That's true.
He didn't do anything else. How about General Motors? When everybody was against him, when General Motors has paid off almost all the money, General Motors is...
That's not true. Sir, that is not true. That is absolutely false. General Motors has not paid back most of it. We still own about half of General Motors, and we've already taken a loss. Hundreds of billions of dollars were lost on General Motors. And you know what? We should never have lost a dime. What Barry Obama did with General Motors, he bailed them out for one reason. He didn't care about the company. He cared about the union. The UAW pension plan was at stake, and it could have gone under in the event that President Obama didn't bail out General Motors. All he was interested in is the UAW pension plan. That's why he bailed out GM and Chrysler. You know what? The one company that didn't get a bailout, Ford. Ford is doing better. They're making better cars. They're making a profit. Chrysler and GM. All right, you want to throw me another fact about our friend Obama? Let's stick to facts, though, pal, not theories and not campaign points. It's just simply not true. Over to you, Joel.
when Reagan cut taxes and then took the
we're talking about Obama. You're telling me facts about Obama. Well, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. All right, forget it, Joel. You know, you're like so many liberals. You're angry. You are another voice of angry liberalism. People, these are the kinds of people you can't trust and you can't listen to. They don't have facts. They have arguments. They have talking points. They don't want to talk about the facts because they can't. Barry Obama is probably the worst president. Not probably. He is the worst president in American history. And the only way we're going to save our economy, the only way we're going to save our culture, the only way we're going to save this country is if we vote this bozo out in November of 2012. That's my opinion. That's what I'm going to work towards. That's what I'm sticking to. Joel, I appreciate your call, but the next time, please do call with some facts. All right, let's go to Line 9. Ann, listening in again, one of my favorite stations, WOR in New York. Thanks for calling in, ma'am. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Okay, thank you. 2 points, please. The first one, even if you are an alien who's been studying human behavior, could see his cold detachment, even with such a military tragedy and the trepidation of the economy, not once, and I stared at him throughout the whole time, not once did he look at the camera for consolation and confidence to inspire that, like a lizard from side to side looking at the teleprompters. If this man should win again, nothing will hold him fast to the middle. And my second point is, he is the biggest contributor to his so-called inheritance. When Fannie and Freddie and Acorn, they gave him so much money for his campaign, and no one seems to have called him out on it.
Yeah, I just don't know that Fannie and Freddie gave anybody money for their campaigns. That would be very illegal. Acorn, yeah, we know all about Acorn. The question about Obama's body language is not a trivial one. If you look at his real body language, especially when he's in an uncomfortable position, the anger he showed when Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, took him to the woodshed on national TV, sitting there in the East Room of the White House, Obama was totally enraged. He's a pretty cool character. Obama is. You have to give him credit for that. He's a very, controlled kind of person. He has a very great command of his body and his emotions because he's a liberal and he does not want to give up the truth, so he's trying to conceal a lot of his emotions. But the basic point here is he was furious at Netanyahu. And some of these things, you know, he was so relaxed with Wolf Blitzer, that's why he gave up the whole thing about redistribution of wealth again. That's what this guy is. He is really not comfortable with freedom. He is really not comfortable with the American way of life. And this is the kind of thing you look at. This is the man, if he were proud of America, if he liked America, if he really were even comfortable America, why would he have even come into office promising to change America? We want to help America. We want to rebuild America. We want to heal the damage that President Obama has inflicted on us for 3 years now. We want to fix things that he's broken. That's the difference, ladies and gentlemen. That's the difference between conservatives and liberals. We don't want the government on our backs, but right now we realize it's a team effort. We've got to repair the damage, and that's what we're up to right here and right now. All right, we've got to take a quick break. Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 800-449-8255. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage today, and we're going right back to your calls. We're at 800-449-8255. Let's go, right away, line one. Terry in Sacramento listening on KSTE. Welcome to the Savage Nation, sir.
Thank you very much, and you're doing a good job.
I wanted to express
my disagreement with a statement made by Governor Perry on the military does not respect Obama solely on the perspective.
Well, I don't think that's what he said. I don't think that's what he said. He said the military has a problem with Obama because Obama does not have an understanding of the military culture.
Yes, I missaid it myself because I'm a little nervous.
Okay.
All
right, relax. Yeah. You're among friends. This is a very, very calm and good radio show, just so, you know, relax.
Yes. I'm a Republican Party member, and I'm a minority, and I joined because I love the fiscal policies and moral compass that the Republican Party shows. But I found that among minorities, it is very difficult to find anyone who's a Republican. And what I've been doing is trying to get more minorities to see that, you know, they don't have to be on these programs that the government puts them perpetually, and they will not be able to get off of. So as a result, when Governor Perry says things like that, it alienates people to think that maybe he is saying that the military won't respect anybody else who is not of the established group in the country.
Two things. And Terry, I applaud what you're trying to do, because I think one of the big problems in America is that people have been caught up in this welfare culture that the Democrats have been pasting on the minority community, you know, with a big paintbrush and a paste brush for more than half a century now. But the real issue here is, I don't think you're disagreeing that what Governor Perry was saying is true. You know, if you were not in the military yourself, and if you've not talked to a lot of military people, look, I was in or around the military pretty much all of my adult life. Most of my friends are either people I served with in the military or people I met in the military or, you know, people I know from the military. You know, these people have told me in droves, thousands of them, that they really don't trust Obama and that they would much, much rather have someone who has served in the military as our president. And I don't think Governor Perry was wrong. I regret it if people in the minority community take this the wrong way. But if you look at our military is made up a large chunk of people from the minority communities. So why would they take what Governor Perry said the wrong way? I don't understand why that would be offensive to anybody, Terry. And I just would respectfully suggest to you that you're living in a military community. Sacramento used to have two Air Force bases. Now I think it's down to one. You've got a lot of military people out there. Go talk to them. They'll talk to you. Ask them what they think about Obama. Ask them if they would think, as Governor Perry has suggested, that people in the military would be much more comfortable if someone was in the presidency who had military experience. That's what I'm saying. Can you do that, Terry? Can you go out and seek some military people, sit down with them over a cup of coffee?
And I've actually been, that's who, it was a military man who actually made me see the light, and because by default, when I just came into the country, by default I was told, hey, the people who look out for you are Democrats, and that's how you towed the party line. But for myself, I began to see that this is not what I want, and I began to see more reason in by then, our former President Bush, and I personally began to like him very much and believe in his policies, and some of them I agreed, some of them not. But what I found is...
Well...
The other people I will try and bring in to say, look, the people have told you that you're a Democrat, just labeled you. They didn't give you a chance to see what the other party is about. And those are the people I was saying... And what I meant to say is, he's really not wrong from my standpoint. He can say that because he's more familiar with the military, like you. You can make that statement because you are familiar with the military. But what I'm saying is, when he makes that blanket statement, then the other people who are listening, I begin to think, well, you know what? Then these people look at us in a certain way, and so we'll just stick with the Democrats.
Well, you know, Terry, that's what campaigns are all about. Campaigns are about reaching out to people to get them to understand what you're saying. And Rick Perry is just beginning. I mean, don't forget, Obama said, hey, he's only been in for a couple of days. Give him a little slack. We're going to give him a lot of slack, and we're going to help him out, whoever is the Republican nominee. Jed Babin for Dr. Michael Savage, 800-449-8255.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, that's Kerosene Maxine Waters. She wants to let go. This is Jed Babb, and I'm not letting go. I'm sitting in for Michael Savage today on The Savage Nation, 800-449-8255, taking your calls. Maxine Waters is all upset. She doesn't know what the plan is. She doesn't know what Barack Obama is going to present to us in his grandiose fashion in another speech right after Labor Day. He's going to tell us what he wants to do to solve the economic problems of the country. Now, why he's waiting so long? Well, the reason he's waiting so long, of course, is he doesn't have a clue, he doesn't have an answer, he doesn't have a plan, and he's trying to cobble together one. Now, we're assured by the White House staff that he's going to present something that's not just going to be to please the environmentalists. It's not only going to be just recycled material. What it's going to be, well, we don't really know yet. There's floating a lot of trial balloons. First thing they said was, well, we're going to create a new jobs department. Oh, yeah, we really need another bureaucracy. Then they shot that down on Wolf Blitzer's campaign commercial cum advertisement for Obama yesterday in his big interview. What are they doing now? Who knows? Obama's out there touring. He's flying around on this Darth Vader bus. You need to read about that on michaelsavage.com. $1.1 million. Enormous black bus. Very shiny. Very intimidating. You really don't want to see that thing in your rearview mirror. And the best thing now is, of course, they've got a second one. The Secret Service apparently bought two of these for the tune of $1.1 million each in Canada. And they're going to give one to the Republican nominee. And what you're going to see all through the campaign, the folks in the news media are going to show you the Republican candidate climbing on and off this Satan bus, standing next to the Satan bus, probably eating, well, who was it? One of the Democratic congressmen was saying, yeah, we're going to serve a Satan sandwich like this big deficit deal. Well, they'll be serving Satan sandwiches and Satan fries on the Satan bus. And all you're going to see, you're never going to see Barack Obama standing next to this thing. You're going to see the Republican climbing in and out of it. You're going to see the Republican standing up next to it. If the Republican candidate gets this thing from the Secret Service, and he or she probably will, they ought to just take it down to the local paint shop, paint it up red, white, and blue, and make it something that's not going to scare the liver out of everybody who sees it. All right, let's get back to your calls. The real issue here, what's Barry going to say? Well, we don't know. It's going to be probably more stimulus. Yes, of course. This man does not want to do anything other than spend your money and your grandchildren's money and their grandchildren's money. He's going to have more incentive. He's going to have a stimulus bank of some sort, an investment bank for America. And he's also going to try to balance the deficit. If you believe that, I have some swampland in Florida I would love to sell you. All right, Jed Babin for Dr. Michael Savage. And again, Michael, thank you for lending me your microphone today. Let's go right back to your calls. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to line two. Brian, listening on KPRC in Houston. This is the Savage Nation. Welcome, sir.
Good evening, Jed. Thank you for taking my call. Wanted to make an observation based on one of Dr. Savage's comments that I've heard, that liberalism is a mental disorder.
It's hard to argue with that.
One of the primary symptoms of that is a failure to take responsibility for your own actions. And a couple of things that I've noticed recently are, take the example of the capturing of Osama bin Laden and the killing of Osama bin Laden. This is one thing where Obama's role was basically to say, okay, might have signed a piece of paper and put his name on it, but he had nothing more to do with that than just giving the final okay, being the commander-in-chief. Yet he takes the ultimate role of being the primary person responsible for capturing him. And now you contrast that with his plan of spending trillions of dollars, where he is directly responsible for this. He orchestrated the entire plan and spent trillions and trillions of our taxpayer dollars with the specific goal of trying to help our economy. And you look at our economy today, and we're in no good of shape, possibly worse shape than we were. But he refuses to take responsibility for his own actions.
Yeah.
Instead,
Brian, I think you're right. I think you're right, and forgive the interruption, but I think that what you're pointing out is just a mere characteristic of liberalism. They always want to take responsibility for something that's good. They want to duck the blame for whatever is bad. And basically, they have no faith in anything except government to solve any problem. Now, the real issue, yes, okay, Obama was in office when Osama bin Laden was killed. And to some degree, he deserves credit for that. I can't deny that. But to say that he is principally responsible for it, look, he is equally responsible then for, what was it, the 67 deaths in Iraq the other day because Obama is pulling our troops out and they're not there anymore to provide stability. So, you know, if you're going to start accepting responsibility and claiming the credit for things that go on in the military, you really need to take credit or blame for all of the things that are resulting from your actions. Yes, bin Laden was gotten under Obama's direction. Not really under his direction. He didn't gather the intelligence. He didn't organize the raid. He certainly did not tell the SEALs how to do their business. But he wants to take credit for it. You can't deny him a little bit of credit. The real issue here is he doesn't want responsibility for anything bad. This is the man who has almost single-handedly, yes, his congressional crime family, Pelosi and the rest, have contributed to it and helped them along. But this is the man who almost single-handedly has taken our economy down from AAA to AA, and we're continuing to sink. Do anything else. But the point of the man on him, let him take the blame for the things he has done. That will sink him. That will sink him in next year's election just as sure as anything else. Hey, Brian, great call. Thanks for it. Let's go to, where's my screener? All right, here we go. Let's go to line six. David on WRKO in Boston. Welcome to the Savage Nation, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Good evening. How are you?
Good.
Good. I tend to disagree with your statement that the political candidates or leader of the country should be a veteran. Let me preface this by saying I'm a conservative in Boston, which is a rare thing. I'm also a U.S. Army veteran. You can only wear so many hats as leader. You can't be an economist. You can't be a doctor to deal with health care. I'm saying there's just too many hats to wear. So I think it's unfair to just put that one military cap on the leader of the country to direct us in any direction.
Let me just disagree with you. And I'm not saying that someone who is an active duty military person at the time they are elected necessarily has to be president. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the life experience a candidate brings to the office is very, very important. And if you have never served in the military, and you've never, you know, if you were not even raised in a military family, you've not been in the military, you've not served anywhere, you don't really have the appreciation of the military culture. What I'm saying is it would be better. I'm not saying it's a precondition. Some of our great presidents, you know, Ronald Reagan was never in the military. He may have served in some Hollywood unit or something like that. And I'm not going to try to denigrate Reagan at all. But the point of the matter is Obama not only has never served, he's not familiar with the military, he's contemptuous of it, just like Clinton. And we would be better off if someone had had a life experience. I mean, heck, Obama doesn't have any life experience. The only experience he's been in is in school, in a, you know, pot-smoking dorm in some Ivy League school, and then getting elected as a senator after being a community organizer. He has no life experience. The people who make the best presidents, their experiences are enriched by their performance in office is enriched by their experience. Everybody who goes into any field, having lived a life and experienced things. Look, some of the people in the military right now who I know and I've met and I've talked to, you know, some of these people come into the military. There's a program, I forget the abbreviation, the acronym for it. the Green Berets, the Navy, the Army Special Forces, the Green Berets, have a program to recruit people from other services, from other walks of life. They've got people who are stockbrokers. There was a guy who was, a New York Mets catcher. There have been Air Force pilots have gone into the Green Berets. These guys all bring a different kind of life experience that gives them a better ability to perform. And that's what I'm saying. Someone who has had military experience, doesn't have to be for 20 years, might have been for only 2 or 3 years. Heck, I was only on active duty for 4 years. But the point is, if you have had that experience, if you know the military, if you see what its values are, if you understand its culture, you can deal with it as president much more efficiently, much better, much more properly than you could otherwise. People who understand the military can be better commanders. That's the point. I think that's the point that Rick Perry was making, and that's the point I believe in. All right, Jed Babin for Dr. Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation. We'll be right back to your calls, 800-449-8255. Stick with us.
Savage.
Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 800-449-8255. Let's go right to your call. Oh, let's go to line one. Let's talk to Shirley, listening to us in KLUP in San Antonio. Shirley, you're one of the few Texans we've talked to today. Let's talk about your governor. Is he good on jobs? Is he standing up to fight Obama? What's he doing?
He is a damn good governor. If he wasn't, he wouldn't be in his third term. When I heard that he was running, decided to run for president, I was saddened because if he does, I think he could do the United States well, but who's going to replace him here in Texas? Jobs are booming down here in South Texas in the San Antonio area. They're advertising on the radio for truck drivers, call center representatives. All kinds of jobs are open down here. We have a large military constituency.
Yeah, a lot of military bases down there.
San Antonio. We respect them. We praise them. We thank them for their service. The young men that are wounded in Iraq or wherever and lose limbs are sent to our hospital here. They're building a new hospital, which means more jobs for nurses and physical therapists and things like that. And
Shirley, let me interrupt. I think what you said is really very important. You know, you've got a Texan, ladies and gentlemen, sit here saying that she's sad that Rick Perry is running because she'd rather keep him in his job as governor. That's pretty high praise. All right, let's thank you very much for the call, Shirley. Let's go to line 8, David in KPRC in Houston, another Texan. Let's talk to you. Is President Obama a better candidate for president than Rick Perry would be?
Rick Perry has been attacked on the issue of treason, on prayer, on the U.S. military this evening on your show. And I got to tell you, there's some facts that are very important. Barack Hussein Obama laid his hand on the Bible and swore, made a sacred promise to defend the Constitution. He's enacted law after law, and he's had his minions making regulations that are steadily undermining the Constitution. And I believe Rick Perry is very accurate in calling the actions of Obama and his administration treasonous. And there's
I think you're right, David. I think you're right. But, you know, I wanted you to talk about Rick Perry. He's your governor. Let me just ask you a couple of questions. Now, we remember Charlie Crist, that rampant rhino in Florida, was standing up when he was supposedly the Republican governor of Florida. He was standing up next to Obama and praising the stimulus package. Did Rick Perry do anything like that when he was there?
No. In fact, we have a balanced budget minimum in Texas, and Governor Perry and the Texas legislature has to balance the budget. And so,
let's just concentrate on Obama, David. And that, well, this is the problem, David. Good call. I appreciate it, but that's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. You have a contrast here. You have a contrast, and we need to make it clearly. One of the things that the Republican Party is going to have to do for the next 16, 18 months, however long it is till this next election, and it's already too long and this campaign's been going on, but we're going to have to slog through it, they're going to have to be clear. You have to communicate. We can't get off in tangents about, well, this, that, or the other thing. If you are asked a question, think about it. Each one of us has to be active in this whole campaign. We have to be out there as the surrogate voices for our beliefs. You know, whether or not you particularly like the Republican candidate, whoever it is, we've got to be out there. We've got to get Barack Obama out of office. So what does that mean? We have to be able to answer questions clearly. Think about this, not just in talk radio, not just in law or any of the other speaking professions. You have to be able to communicate clearly. One of the things I think Rick Perry brings to the table, and again, the jury is still out on him, one of the things he brings to the table is the ability to communicate pretty fast, pretty hard, and pretty clearly. All of us who are engaged in this debate, let's focus. Let us focus, everybody. Let us focus, grasshoppers, as they used to say in the old Kung Fu series. Let's focus on what we're talking about. And David, I very much appreciate it, but you're excited, and it's good to be excited in this political debate. But focus. Focus on the question. If we're talking about Rick Perry, let's talk about Rick Perry. If we're talking about Obama, let's talk about Obama. And if we're trying to draw a contrast between the two, make it short, make it sweet, and make it sharp. You never did see. I never saw Rick Perry out there doing things like Charlie Crist did, standing up with Obama for the stimulus package. I never saw him do things like, well, how about John Huntsman did, taking an ambassadorship from Obama, signing onto the Obama team. You know, these are the things that make contrast. Political choices are all about that. Political choices are about making a contrast and making a choice. All right, we're going to take a quick break and come right back to you. Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 800-449-8255. We'll be back.
Savage.
Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 800-449-8255. Just a couple of quick notes on some of the other corrections we need to make. When Obama keeps talking about the economy, and he repeated this again and again and again, yesterday he said it to Wolf Blitzer. He was talking about the trade pacts, that all Congress needs to do is enact these things, to pass these trade pacts, and, you know, we'd have 250,000 more jobs pretty much overnight. Well, there's only one problem with those trade pacts. They haven't been submitted to Congress yet. I checked with my friends in Senator Mitch McConnell's office today, and they told me that all three of the trade agreements that Barry keeps talking about, Colombia, South Korea, and Panama, none of them have been submitted to Congress yet. So, okay, Mr. President, let's get those right up to Congress. You know why they haven't been run up to Congress? You know why the Congress hasn't had the opportunity to pass them yet? Because... as always, Barry and his mafia family up there on the Hill want to tie stuff to it before those agreements can be passed. They want to add more stimulus money, or they want, I'm sorry, it was more worker relocation adjustment assistance, another welfare plan. Okay, they're thinking that these new trade agreements are going to create 250,000 jobs. Why do we need worker readjustment assistance to go along with it? I don't get that. It's just another scam. Just another lie about the economy by this president who has driven us into the ground. All right, Jed Babin for Michael Savage, 800-449-8255. Let's get right back to you. How about Line 5, Mike in Palm Beach, listening on WFTL. Welcome to the Savage Nation, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for taking the call, Jeff. You know, I got a couple of points that I'd like to make over here. If you look at Obama, he was a law professor out of Harvard. If you look at the 525 empty suits you got up there in Capitol Hill, they're all lawyers.
535. Well, they're not all lawyers. 535. And they're, most of them are lawyers, yeah, but not all of them.
Okay. And
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
They talk about the debt and the deficit, the economy. Listen, if they're really concerned about reducing the debt and the deficit, All they have to do is just pull all these kids out of Afghanistan and Iraq. You'll be saving $12 billion a day. Okay?
Well, they're doing that anyway. No, it's not $12 billion a day, Mike. That's a big, big, big exaggeration. They'd be saving millions a day, sure. We should be pulling our people out of Libya, where we have no business being there. Look, I have been saying for years now, nation building is a mistake. But you can't just look at war as an economic exercise. We're not in these wars because we needed money or we wanted to spend money. We're going to try to recoup money. We're trying to conquer somebody to gain money. We're not the British in the 18th, 19th centuries. We are not colonialists. These wars were begun. We had to go into Afghanistan. The Taliban had provided Osama bin Laden with malice aforethought with a base to mount the 9/11 attacks. We believed in good faith. Turned out we were wrong. We believed in good faith that Iraq was a clear and present danger because Saddam Hussein was building weapons of mass destruction. But the point is right now, what you're saying is, oh, yeah, let's just pull all these people out of there. Let's, come out of these wars and everybody will be fine and let's just go home. It's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. You can pull out of Iraq right now. We should. Nothing to say Iraq will not be a terrorist haven very soon. We can pull out of Afghanistan. We should. But what is going to happen in Afghanistan? The Taliban are going to come back. The Pakistanis are going to help them. The Iranians are going to arm them. And you're going to have the Taliban then, again, grow up another whole bin Laden network. So what's going to happen? We have to take this war more seriously. We have to spend the money we need to spend to defend America the right way. Nation building is not that right way. As a matter of fact, there is a very historic occasion I want to report to you, ladies and gentlemen. We have, the first time, Paul Krugman of the New York Times, the economics columnist, Nobel Prize-winning economist, he was actually right once. Krugman was trying to make fun of another stimulus. Now, Obama's going to come out with another stimulus. We know that. He's going to want to have some other label for it, but it's still going to be spending more money. It's going to be another stimulus package. It's going to cost hundreds of billions of dollars. What is he going to do? He's going to try to make something else a shovel-ready project, and it's not going to work. It's going to spend more money. Frankly, the Republicans, I hope, are not going to let him get away with it. But Krugman had an interesting point Sunday. On one of the Sunday Blather shows, Krugman was talking about military spending as a stimulus. Listen to this. Krugman, please, guys.
If we discovered that space aliens were planning to attack and we needed a massive buildup to counter the space alien threat and really inflation and budget deficits took secondary place to that, this slump would be over in 18 months. There was a Twilight Zone episode like this in which scientists fake an alien threat in order to achieve world peace. Well, this time we don't need it. We need it in order to get some fiscal stimulus.
Oh, ha, ha, ha. Yes, I know. And military spending is just the worst thing in the world, according to Paul Krugman and the Democrats. Not that they're any different. The point really is, ladies and gentlemen, Krugman inadvertently said something that's actually right. There's only one way for the government to create a job. Government doesn't create jobs. Government takes money away from the private sector to spend on other things. But when the government does that to spend on defense, if you look back in your history book all the way back to September of 2008, when all of the big problems of the financial meltdown were just really coming up, where we really started to figure out how bad it was in the banking system, how bad it was in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, how bad it was when the credit market was frozen. Martin Feldstein, who was one of the two economists that Ronald Reagan really liked and relied on, testified in front of the Senate Banking Committee in September of 2008. And what he said was essentially, and I'm paraphrasing here, if you want to spend money and actually get some stimulus out of it, what you would do is spend money on the military. You'd buy things that go fast and kill people. You know, he wasn't saying it quite in those terms, but he was effectively saying the way you get return on a government investment is you spend it on something the government needs and won't otherwise get. Government didn't need Chrysler. The government didn't need General Motors. The government didn't need bailing out Goldman Sachs. But what the government did need then and does need now, maybe some way, if you're going to spend money, President Obama, Take it out of this deficit spending you're doing now. Get back to a fiscal program of growth. If you look at what Senator Rob Portman, former director of OMB, is now senator from Ohio, he had an article in the Cleveland Plain Dealer last weekend. And it was actually, it's from today, I'm sorry. And it says a whole bunch of things that you could do to grow the economy. The growth in the American economy is what we lack right now. Restoring growth is what this is all about. And what he says, some things like, well, reforming the tax code to make the U.S. more competitive, lowering the tax rates, aren't regulatory relief, cutting needless red tape, getting workers, farmers, and so forth, fair access to markets abroad, you know, give workers the tools they need. Workers have been traditionally been the most productive in the world, but we're falling back on productivity. All of the things that he has in this article, and I'd recommend it to you, it's in the Cleveland Plain Dealer today. He basically, all these things have one thing in common. They're basically saying, get the government out of the way. Get the government out of the way of business. If you want to restore growth, let's not talk about stimulus. Let's not talk about spending more deficits and borrowing more to spend. Let's get to the point where we actually can stimulate growth. That means getting the government out of the way of our economy. Paul Krugman may have hit on, unintentionally, something right. Spending on military spending actually will do some level of stimulus. The economists have praised it. The economists have proved it. Maybe it's time to think about that, not with deficit money. All right, Jed Babin for Michael Savage. Let's get back to your calls. How about line 8, James, listening on KTBB in Tyler, Texas. Welcome to the show. Hey, you're one of my good friend Louis Gohmert's constituents. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to mention that Mr. Perry did turn down some stimulus money because of the strings attached that would end up costing the state in the end. He's heavily criticized for it. I don't remember the specific program. I just wanted to mention he has turned down some stimulus money.
Yeah, I remember that too. And you know, good on you down there in Tyler, Texas. You know, this is a governor who deserves some more scrutiny, who deserves to be taken seriously. He might be a really good Republican nominee. Let's see how it plays out. James, thanks for the call. Let's go to line 2. Kaylee in Hawaii. Welcome to the Savage Nation, ma'am. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Thanks. I'm just calling because I am actually stationed in Hawaii. My husband and I are both in the Army, and I'm from the East Coast. I'm from Maine. And the guy who called in from Boston, I'm just responding to his call because I completely disagree with him, and I agree with you that our commander-in-chief should know about our military, whether it be 20 years or even 3 years, because even in just a couple years that I've been in, I've learned so much more and have so much more appreciation for the military and what they do, and I actually understand it way more than I ever would have if I ever never had joined. So,
well, Kaylee, thank you for your service, and thank your husband for us for his service, and that's the point. I mean, you actually learn things in the military. You learn things about people. You learn things about leadership. And you learn things about how our military works. I really think, Kaylee, I mean, you are more qualified at this point to be president than our president, because you've had that life experience. You've gone outside the womb. You've gone outside of school. You've not wasted your time as a community organizer. You've actually had a real job. You've served. And good on you for it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a good point. It's an important point. If you have a life experience in the real world and in the military, you bring something to the presidency that you can't otherwise bring. Hey, great call, Kaylee. Thanks for it. Let's go to line 6, John in Albany, New York. Welcome to the Savage Nation, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, and I agree with Kaylee, sir. I was in the Navy in the 80s, I served proudly the United States Navy, and I agree with Perry. If you have two people of equal stature and, you know, equal in many ways, and you have one with military, I'll take the guy with military. It's a gal or a guy, because of the state of the world. It's better to have that. Just as Kaylee said, they understand the sensitivity of the naval person, what they go through, their heart and soul, how they deal with their families out in the battlefield. So I agree wholly and heartily with him.
Yeah, and I think that's a very good point. Thank you for your service, and you know, I appreciate that very much. Look, ladies and gentlemen, you can't really appreciate what the military has done or is doing without visiting with them, without spending time with them, without being a part of them for a little while. You know, I, having spent most of my life in or around the military, you know, even I was really surprised. A few years ago, I got invited out on a USS, well, the USS Harry S. Truman, as it was, a naval, a U.S. Navy carrier. And one of the things that impressed me was the youth of the people in great responsible positions out there. If you look at the deck of a carrier and you see people swarming around out there, the average age of those people is something like 19 or 20. Now, are you going to trust a $6 billion ship and the lives of about 4,000 people to a bunch of teenagers? Well, normally I would have thought that would be bizarre and crazy. But after seeing those people, the way they were trained, the way they were led, the pride they took in what they were doing, how hard they worked, hey, you know, it seems perfectly reasonable to me. Okay, got to take a quick break. Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 800-449-8255. We'll be right back. Savage. Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage. Thank you again, Dr. Savage, for lending me your microphone today. We're at 800-449-8255, and don't forget to go on michaelsavage.com and check out the top stories. All right, right back to your calls. How about let's go to line four. Steve, listening on WNOX in Tennessee. Thanks for calling in, sir. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, first of all, Jeb, I want to say that you're doing a great job filling in for the doctor. There's a lot of fill-in hosts that just are difficult to listen to. You're doing a great job.
Well, thank you. It's great, great fun.
Because I am not real happy with the Governor Perry throwing his hat into the ring this late in the game.
Why?
Well, I'm convinced that the Republican Party itself, the RNC, is worried that the Tea Party candidates are actually winning this race, and they're not wanting to give up their power, so they threw in an established Republican. He's deep inside the Republican Party. He may be a great governor, but you have to give credit to the Congress of Tennessee or of Congress of Texas for passing pro legislation that is pro jobs, and the governor, to his credit, has not been vetoing any of these legislative bills. But
wait a minute.
Republican.
Yeah, let's go at that just a little bit, because you're accusing him of being an establishment Republican and saying the Republican establishment wants to throw somebody in there. Isn't Mitt Romney Mr. Establishment? Under the normal idiotic rules of the Republican Party, the nomination would be Mitt Romney's for the taking because it's his turn. That's how McCain got it. That's how Bob Dole got it. All the losing candidates are establishment Republicans who are there just because it's their turn. Now, I think there is an argument you can make, and you're obviously making it, in terms of, well, Rick Perry is kind of on the inside in the Republican Party. Yes, he's a longtime politician. I don't know if he's part of the establishment. The establishment apparently doesn't like him. That's why all the Bushies are out there attacking him, right? The Republican establishment in Texas is George Bush, isn't it?
Yeah, and you're right on that point, and you're right about the Romney issue as well. But as the media was trying to put Romney as the front runner, leading in the polls and what have you, he didn't do squat in the Iowa straw poll. He's not really that favored. It's just that the media and the establishment is trying to make Romney the front runner. It's not working, so they had to go to Rick Perry this late in the game. Now, Rick Perry is part of the governor's council.
I don't know, Steve. I just don't see that he is the Republican establishment. He is the kind of guy the establishment won't be very comfortable about. You know, that's the point. The Republican establishment, and there is one, despite what a lot of people say, the Republican establishment is people like Karl Rove and George Bush. The Republican establishment is people like Mitt Romney. And, you know, the other part of what you're saying I don't agree with is this late. I don't think it's very late at all. I think we're in a position now where there may be another whole raft of candidates. People are talking about Paul Ryan, the chairman of the House Budget Committee from Wisconsin, coming into the race at this point. Good. I think he should. I think there's a field out there right now that's just still pretty weak. I mean, Michelle Bachmann's out there. She's pretty darn good. Rick Perry's out there. I think he's pretty good. But, you know, the rest of them are just not A-class candidates. Let's get a few more good guys up there. And gals, why not? It's not late. Steve, God bless you, but it's just not too late for more people to get in. All right, one more, I think, before we have to break. Let's go to line 8. Jamie on KSTE in Sacramento. Thanks for calling the Savage Nation. Welcome aboard.
Can't wait. I do believe that that Rick Perry threw his hat in just in the nick of time, as Texans do. They're the first. They do everything big. I do. My husband is a union plasterer, and he's gone from $300 a day to $30 a day on this
Ouch.
Obama shovel ready. So we've lost about everything that we've put in. He can't own a house that he's built himself. You know, it's not too late to save what we have. I grew up in a little town in the Bay Area called Benicia. It's right there, and we have nothing but military. And there isn't one person or elder person that I've talked to that can even understand this Obamacare.
Well, Jamie, I think you make a very good point, and I think a lot of people out there are coming to that conclusion. Ladies and gentlemen, people are fed up with Barry Obama. I don't think very many people are even listening to him anymore, but that's not to say he's going to lose. Jed Babin for Michael Savage. Gotta go. I've really enjoyed my time sitting with you today. Hope to be back sometime soon. Thank you again, Dr. Savage, for lending me your microphone. And Jed Babin. For Michael Savage. Good night.
Savage.